flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Let's go! Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
You're back again next year?
No, I'm not going to get into all of that stuff. Look, here I go again, dancing a little bit. But look, my focus is on the guys in this room, the coaches on this staff, and winning this game that we have coming up.
Jerod Mayo yesterday on the Greg Hill Show. Mayo Monday made his weekly appearance. Would not commit to being back a year from now. Which is interesting. While Bill Belichick is flirting with the University of North Carolina, I was told it was supposed to be done yesterday. That's what I heard. Supposed to be done yesterday. So what's the holdup? What's the holdup on it not being done? Maybe it's just what you said, Keith. They're haggling over some final details. It'll get done during the show today.
That's a pretty big detail, though. If it's true that Bill wants his kid to be the coach in waiting, he'll be like, wait a minute. We're not doing that.
Okay.
Why would we do that?
But we found out about it last week.
Was it Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's when we found out about it.
What, that he interviewed?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How long do you think it's been going on through back channels and everything else with UNC?
Oh.
And then it's like, you're either going to bend the knee to Bill about his kid being the future head coach or you're not. I mean, how long does that really take to haggle over? And so, I don't know, maybe I'm making too much of that part of it. I don't think the phone's ringing from the NFL.
Doesn't feel like it.
Florio reported that yesterday. I have come around. I thought Bill was just using UNC. I thought it was... mutually beneficial for UNC to get Bill's name out there and their name out there on Bill's half as well. I thought it was mutually beneficial. I've come around. Bill wants the job. You heard him on McAfee yesterday.
Yeah, he wants
it. I'm not sure he's even going to get it. Never mind an NFL job again. And so what's the holdup for Bill in the NFL?
You think he's going to lose out to Steve Wilkes? You think that's what's going to happen?
I mean, I don't know.
Well, that's the only other guy that wants it, right? Or does he even want it?
I don't know. I think
there was the Tulane guys out and Arthur Smith are out.
I think the players want him at UNC.
Yeah, but the former players or the current players?
No, former players.
Yeah, all right, who cares?
Well, I don't know. do the boosters listen to the former players? Because if they do, that's who's deciding who's getting hired.
I don't know. Does Julius Peppers get to pick the next head coach, or does the
It depends on how I don't know.
Director.
I don't know enough about the setup at UNC, but if they're influential enough with boosters, yes.
Yeah, I guess. In regard to that, you guys have to pay Steve Wilkes. if you're in charge there, I mean, I would choose Bill Belichick over him every day.
So, again, what's the holdup for Bill in these jobs? Maybe there isn't one with UNC. Maybe he gets it in the next half hour, and it's done, and whatever. Then I guess what? We're throwing a parade for Bill getting the job at UNC?
No, we just got to be shut. We got to realize how crazy it is. You keep like, yeah, of course he was going there. Like, no, nobody thought he was going to go there. It is wild that he would go to college. That was never once brought up.
No.
Last year, he gets fired. And then it was, he's going to coach in the NFL. I was surprised that he didn't. And then he took 9 different jobs, and you're like, all right, he's probably going to hopefully go back to the NFL. Or there were some people saying, old dude, retired for the first time. Maybe he likes retirement, and maybe he's just going to do that. He's not going to sniff around North Carolina.
I never would have guessed. And as of Friday, I didn't think he really wanted it. I now think he really wants it.
Yeah.
And I wonder if he's going to get it, which you're right, Keith. Tells us a lot.
Honestly, the Falcons would have been weird to me. I thought at the time the Falcons was weird.
Can somebody, we've referenced this tweet a lot, can somebody find I forget the reporter's name. Where did the report come from that he wants his son taking over as part of the deal? That came out over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember what the reporter's name was. It's another one of these college reporters that I'm not overly familiar with.
I think it was something Connolly.
Okay, if we can track that down just to read it verbatim. But that report came out over the weekend. So that's Bill Belichick and UNC. Could you see him working there? Why isn't the phone ringing from the NFL? Again, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number and your text line here on a Tier Tuesday, a Tommy Tuesday, a D'Angelo's Tuesday, a Kiefer Madness Tuesday on Jones and Keefe. Quickly, I saw this.
It's in this Sports Illustrated story, but it's Sports Illustrated doesn't write stories anymore. So it's like they took a Diana Russini, who he knows always right.
Mm-hmm.
She had a story in The Athletic. She's the one that said if Belichick is offered the Tar Heels coaching job, he's likely to take it.
Hmm.
And then just sort of in there.
So I'm sorry. One more time. If he's offered it.
If Belichick is offered the Tar Heels coaching job, he's likely to take it. Huh. Part of Belichick's request in his deal with North Carolina would be that his son, Steve Belichick, is the coach in waiting.
There you go. Thank you. So we're just not making that up. That was reported over the weekend.
Ollie Connolly.
Thank you. That's the one that I saw. I didn't realize Russini had that as well.
Russini had that, unless this guy is just doing like a bunch of reports into one. That's how Sports Illustrated works now. It's probably AI anyway.
Yeah. It's true. It's a good point.
Well, his tweet said per sources, so.
Yeah.
Right. Per sources, I'm told Belichick negotiations with UNC and then all that, and it's like talking about Steve being the coach in waiting.
Ollie Connolly. Not overly familiar with that guy's work, but he reported it. So
I texted some friends that work in college football, and they said, I don't know if he's real. I'm trying to figure it out.
We're efforting
in your face.
How real that person is.
In your face, texter.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you have this from Greg Bedard at the Boston Sports Journal. Gerard Mayo should be coaching for his job over the final 4 games, which I agree with. I think there should be stakes to the final month. We talked about this yesterday, Keith. I think we've even talked about it over the last few weeks. It's not just about the wins and losses over the final month. It's how much of a clown show does it look like? Is Mayo sticking his foot in his mouth? And is he shown on the sidelines doing nothing all over again? Are there more scandals off the field with this team? Like all of it, like how all of it looks. Never mind how they play competitively and everything else. All of it comes along with the final month of the year.
Well, there's a big part of that because they won 4 games last year. It's why Bill doesn't have a job anywhere. They won 4 games. And then Mayo comes in, says they're going to win more than 4 games. They're currently staring at 3 wins with 4 to go. So, yeah, I think it has a lot to do with what the operation looks like over the final month. But the win total is not insignificant.
No.
Because at the end of the year, Robert Kraft can look at, and I'm sure he's going to issue yet another email to season ticket holders, right? He's done that the last few years. But there is a big difference, even though
it matters.
1 or 2 crappy wins, but did you win more or less games or the same amount as last year?
No, it matters. If they win 3 games, that's embarrassing.
That's real bad.
But I think the bigger thing is not just the win total, which doesn't look good, but I'd give them a second year, if they just won 3 games, if they were looking more competitive, and if Mayo looked like he had a clue. He looks clueless, and I think that's the more damning thing. So Bedard says he should be coaching for his job. About halfway through the story, tucked in there, Uh-huh. It's not the lead, so I don't know what that says about his confidence in this reporting.
It's in there, though.
It's in there.
All right.
He says, according to multiple sources.
Nice.
If. There's that word again.
If.
Craft.
Ifs. Crafts and nuts for candy.
That was Bill yesterday. Capital IF.
What?
If my aunt was. No, never mind.
No, come on.
According to multiple sources, if Kraft comes to the realization he made the wrong choice with Mayo, he wouldn't hesitate to rectify the situation.
That sounds better than it is. So basically, if Robert Kraft thinks he should fire him, he'll fire him. Got it. He's the guy in charge.
If Kraft thinks he screwed up, then he'll rectify it. What does that mean?
If
in firing Mayo?
I think I'm going to eat two subs today. I'll eat two subs. It's like, it's up to me, so I can do it if I want, right? Like, that's, I mean, that one's tough because I don't think Kraft's going to come to that realization. I think the majority of the fans have already come to that realization. I don't think Kraft will.
Well, what if they keep not showing up to games or, you know, hardly spending on the secondary market?
Yeah, yeah.
I get their bases more in suites and season ticket and everything else. But if they're not a hot ticket on the secondary market again, I think that's part of what helped get Bill fired was the lack of interest in the team. If you're not getting that out of Mayo and the thing's a clown show in the media and from a PR standpoint and you lose fewer games than the year before, I hope that Kraft would look at firing him. I don't know if Bedard's right or not.
I don't think he will.
I would look to rectify the situation for sure.
I think he has said too much about Jerod Mayo and how smart it was to pick him and how great it was to pick him and how he's had him lined up for many years, how great of a head coach he's going to be. I don't think he can pull the cord after 1 year. Even if he starts to doubt whether or not he's the right guy. I think there are other scapegoats, as we've said before. I think to sort of save face and not have to walk back to the comments that he has had, I could see Robert Kraft saying, we're firing the defensive coordinator and we're actually going to spend some money in the offseason. Because if you bring in a big shiny object, I think you can point to that and people might be a little distracted from how in over his head Jerod Mayo has been and how, you know, maybe Kraft, like, why didn't Kraft make that big change? If they get the Juan Soto equivalent in free agency, I think people are like, oh, that's cool. Like, maybe they'll be better now. Oh, Drake May year two and this guy or these two guys? I think they're more likely to do that.
Well, speaking of that, and not that he had a good game last night on Monday Night Football during the Simpsons broadcast, which we'll get to.
Simpsons cast.
But T. Higgins is a free agent. Chad Graff at The Athletic writes, he expects the Patriots to offer T. Higgins, quote unquote, the moon in free agency. So is that what you're talking about? I mean, that's not Juan Soto, but a big ticket move like that makes the Mayo returning for year two a little more.
That's
palatable.
What I think. Yeah. And if they were really in on Calvin Ridley and Brandon Ayuk and the numbers were whatever the numbers were, whatever they ended up being, don't you think, all right, free agency, T. Higgins is definitely better than Calvin Ridley. You could argue with Brandon Ayuk. I know it's not been a good season for him and, like, you know, hurt and everything. But, like, that's a guy that you might have to say, all right, we have to overpay a little bit, but it's a premium position. It's a guy you know works in the NFL. He's young enough to pair him with Drake May for years to come. Yeah, that's the kind of thing you'd have to do. And that for sure could save Mayo.
617-779-7937. Bill Belichick, would it work at UNC? Does he want the job? Does UNC really want him? Why isn't the phone ringing off the hook for Bill? So you can jump in there. Again, it's 617-779-7937. That's topic number one. Topic number two, is Jerod Mayo coaching for his job? Should he be coaching for his job? Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, says Kraft won't wait to rectify the situation if he believes he's made the wrong decision. That's topic number two. You can jump in on that as well. Plus, we just mentioned Monday Night Football last night. You enjoy the Simpsons cast there, Keith?
I watched a lot of the Simpsons cast.
I noticed you didn't answer that directly. Let's get to the Simpsons cast and the alternate broadcasts that are taking over sports. That's next.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
You recognize that voice, right, Keefe?
I sure do.
You can't handle the truth.
Like, yeah, dude, it's October. Relax.
It's Drew Carter.
That is Drew Carter, part of the Simpsons alternate broadcast last night on Disney Plus, which I watched.
If you're watching
a
on
decent
Twitch.
Amount.
TV, I actually like this part. I like the lineup intros.
Lineup intros was good. They had Lisa asking some questions. I learned that T. Higgins played the bass in high school. Yep, he thought it was good because he could stand up. He said he wasn't very good at it. But they asked a lot of questions. Ted Karras was good. former Patriot Ted Karras. Huh. Had a lot of answers on there. So the Simpsons broadcast, so they've done a few of these alternate broadcasts. One I watched a couple of years ago is the Toy Story one for the Jaguars London game. And so they basically take the players on the field and you can watch the game and it looks like Toy Story characters. Or like if you've ever watched like a Madden sim, like that kind of thing, same idea here. So now you have Simpsons characters. Now, so yeah, if you're watching now on Twitch and on YouTube.
Lisa just put a move on Homer.
Lisa
Look at the Jets.
Simpson just absolutely torched it.
That was the Jamar Chase. I was not watching the Simpsons broadcast. That was the late Jamar Chase touchdown. The game winner.
Believe it or not, Jones, as much as I don't like change, I'm all about these alternate broadcasts. Yeah. Give it a shot. When they were sliming guys on the Nickelodeon thing a couple years ago, I'm all for that. Here's the thing. I don't know who this is for, and I don't think they knew who it was for. So they had Drew Carter, Mina Kimes, and Dan Orlovsky doing the game. And they would go...
Orlovsky and Kimes, they must be huge Simpsons fans with deep knowledge of the show and lots of references,
right? I don't think Dan Orlovsky's ever seen the show. I didn't get the sense. And I think they scripted a lot of jokes. So it was the most, like, herky-jerky broadcast of all time.
Uh-huh.
Because it was like, all right, it's your turn to talk, and then I want you to say one thing, and make sure you make a joke, make sure you do like, a deep Simpsons cut reference, and do that, and then go away for it. It was very, very strange. Yeah, Orlovsky wasn't good. Mina Kimes, I think, did the best out of the three that were there. They would occasionally swap out a character on the field and make them be a Simpsons character.
Mm-hmm.
So you're watching it, you're like, all right, the quarterback's Homer, and then there'd be one receiver, it'd be Lisa Simpson, and you're like looking at the numbers, and you're like, all right, I see Jamar Chase, so it's not him.
It's not him.
Lisa must be T. Higgins?
Yeah.
But then they'd go back and forth.
Why is Ralph in the game?
They'd be like, touchdown, Ralph Wiggum.
Go eat paste on the bench, Ralph. Like, what are you doing in the game?
They did have Itchy and Scratchy on the chain game at one point. They were doing that.
They had Spider Pig as the ball at one
point. They had Lenny and Carl playing pool off the sideline.
Nice.
So I like that. They had some good stuff, but it was just really strange. And then Mina Kimes and Orlovsky also didn't really know what they were doing because they would occasionally say something that was like, very over the top, like kid friendly and just like whatever, like to a person that had never seen football before. And then they'd morph into like a much more sophisticated talk. And you're like,
Orlovsky at one point was given like a full defensive breakdown of like how the game was being defended. I'm like, what is this broadcast? Is it a football broadcast?
Yeah.
Is it a Simpson? What is it? Because he would morph into like this weird, like he's watching tape of thing.
It was pretty odd.
It was.
Steadily down!
I don't mind like the...
Lean in on that. They should have leaned in on that. That's a good spot for Drew Carter, by the way.
Less
of that in the Celtics games, more of that in the Simpsons games. That makes sense.
So did a guy get carted off the field or no? Or did he just get helped off the field? Because they didn't really show it. So I'm watching the Simpsons broadcast, right? And all of a sudden a guy goes down and they just show like other players kind of like walking around in the huddle.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, like so-and-so has just been like helped off the field. And then they started talking about that guy and like what he did like the previous week. And I'm like, is he all right? Like, where? Like, did they like ignore it for the kids? Like, oh, another thing about football is like these guys' heads are a mess. Like, their brains are soup. Like, we didn't really get into any of that. No, but it was weird. And also, we were talking about this with Nick and Billy. The Simpsons is. I don't know how many kids are watching The Simpsons right now.
So the Monday Night Football broadcast.
And it's Monday Night Football.
It was not for kids. Last night was not for kids. I think people have this wrong.
It's odd.
The SpongeBob slime game on Nickelodeon, that was for children. The London game with Toy Story, that was for children. This was not for kids. This was for like us, which is weird. The Simpsons is how many seasons of The Simpsons are there now? 40?
I think it's probably as old as
right?
I am, yeah.
Like
pretty close to
something
it.
Like that. That show is not for kids, and I don't mean it's like inappropriate or anything. I just mean kids don't watch it. That's for people our age. Monday Night Football is not for kids. That broadcast I think was for us, and I watched some of it. It was very glitchy, which maybe is a weird criticism.
No, it was weird. Like,
that didn't make it easy to watch, and I'm not thirsting for more of that. I get the SpongeBob game. I get the Toy Story game Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. I don't get this.
Twitch chat's right. They did a Big City Greens hockey game. And so that's a kid for kids like that show.
I did tune in for a little bit of that. That was a Bruins game, wasn't it?
That was a hockey game. Yeah, a Bruins game. Yeah, but it was hockey. So they did it with hockey. Actually. And like that's kind of cool. Yeah, Simpsons is weird. Like, what is the sweet spot? What's the target audience for The Simpsons?
So more adults
on season 36.
Okay, more Holy adults mackerel. Like us are thirsting for a broadcast like that. I get it for the kids. I get Big City Greens for hockey on a Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, Monday Night Football is not prime
for us. They think there's a market of that for us.
Well, so you got to figure that there's a good, sorry, Keith, no. There's a good chunk of the audience that are around our age. We checked out on The Simpsons around 99, yeah. 2000 when South Park showed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I respect yeah. the show, but I couldn't tell you the last time I watched The Simpsons.
No, like every other Simpsons fan, I'll be like, yeah, seasons 2 through 10, I can quote it and I love it and everything else. Like anything after that, like I'm out. Like I haven't seen it. So it is really strange. Yeah, the show's still on. They obviously are, all the shows are on Disney Plus. But of all the things to do it, wouldn't you rather have seen like a Marvel thing or like a Star Wars thing or like something like that? I feel like there's yeah. more of a general, like a big audience
or
with that.
Save those broadcasts for Sunday mornings for the kids.
Yeah.
Because I don't hear a lot of adults clamoring for more alternate broadcasts like that.
8:30 kickoff to see Cowboys Bengals. Now, the it was a good game broadcast? To do it though, because yeah. Cowboys Bengals both stink.
Bad
so
game.
It was a good game to do something.
Well, that was
different.
The reason they couldn't flex it, because they already had all the animations.
Remember?
Done for the
Remember there was
flex
you're
it out.
Right. There was outrage a few weeks ago. They're like, why is this game staying on Monday Night Football? That was why. Nick's right.
So that's bad.
Speaking of how bad the Cowboys are, I just read you this off the air.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Panthers next week. The Panthers are favored in the game for the first time in almost 2 years.
Amazing.
The Panthers are 2.5-point favorites. They have not been a favorite since December of 2022.
So basically, they've had like 4 upset wins over the last couple of years, or 5 upset wins, right? They've been dogs in every game.
It's true. So I just don't feel a lot of clamoring for the alternate broadcast. People claim they like the Manning cast and like that tour.
Oh, I can't stand the Manning cast.
But that's like the football nerd.
Yeah.
There probably is a core audience for that. Who was that for last night?
I can't tell.
I don't know.
I don't know, and they don't know. Like as they were doing the game, they're probably looking at each other like, do we break down the game? Like we're used to breaking down the game like a real game, but like you don't want us to. So let me read from this sheet this Simpsons joke from 20 years ago, like which did not hit at all.
It's literally supposed to be like a tutorial, is how yes. it should be. Because yes. again, my son was asleep, so he didn't see it. But like,
of course, most
put
kids
it on,
were asleep.
Right,
at that point,
so
yeah.
you'd put it on like today.
Yeah,
like because he reacts to sports on the TV. He reacts to cartoons.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, so he might like it, but then like. The stuff they're saying makes like no sense.
Right. You have to like it has to be like the dummy's guide to professional football when you do yeah. the play-by-play.
Yeah. Don't put Orlovsky on that broadcast. No. Put, I don't know, an animator from the Sim. Put Conan O'Brien on it. Just go all out and make it wild. Get a Simpsons writer. Get some sort of hardcore Simpsons fan on the thing.
Yeah.
Why do I need Orlovsky breaking down cover 2 defenses on the stupid Simpsons broadcast?
Did they do that with the SpongeBob one? They had the voice actors do
did
it.
Did they?
I think they had the voice actors
like,
do
just
it.
Lean in on it's not a football game. It's an entertainment product. So lean in on the entertainment, not the guy talking about cover 3.
Yeah, no, he did try to break down some coverages.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, dude.
What are you doing?
Do less.
Simpsons jokes.
Yeah, give me another.
I'm an adult and I don't want to hear it.
I don't. Yeah, right. Give me a Groundskeeper Willie reference. What's Mo up to right now? That's yeah. what I want to know.
Or like an impersonation
sorry,
or something.
Saving tackle by Mo. Yeah. Mo made a nice saving tackle.
Mo.
Yeah.
Mo made a nice tackle.
Dude, Homer Ralph Wiggum had a touchdown, which blew my mind.
Yeah,
Homer, not an athlete.
Homer had like a Travis Hunter type performance.
Played
he threw,
everywhere.
He threw a touchdown. He had a pick in the game.
Yeah.
Good showing from Homer last night.
Which Orlovsky tried to make a joke at one point.
He's like, last touchdown.
He's like, I didn't realize he was a dual sport. I mean, two sides of the ball player. I'm like, I just.
All right.
You're having a hard day.
Do less.
Yeah. Like John Heyman.
617-779-7937. Do you like these alternate broadcasts? Because they are starting to infiltrate more and more.
The whole thing has been a disaster.
Including that broadcast last night, which I agree with Heyman, wasn't the strongest product. Thereby ESPN.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantastic, Sean. One lamb lollipop, one golden lamb lollipop for whoever did that. That's well done.
My favorite thing on the internet in the last 3 weeks.
You are definitely a Creed stan.
Always and forever.
If there ever was a Creed stan. All right, call now. Time for the 12 days of Chris Curtismas. So pick up your phone and call 617 617-
931-0937. And if you are caller number 9, then our very own Grinch, Chris Curtis, will re-gift everything he can for you right now to make the holidays even better than they all already are.
And what I'm already working on for all of you for Christmas is all the people that would be get outraged when people would say Nick Saban is a better coach than Bill Belichick because winning in college is so much easier than winning in the pros. But we're going to have a huge Christmas this morning.
Pump the brakes on that one. I think that if Bill's able to win in college, it's harder to do that than win when Brady won at Tampa. Because remember, when
So you would agree with me on that.
Yeah, because remember, when Brady went to Tampa, Brady...
He went to a loaded team.
Yes, very...
Loaded.
The 2020 Patriots and the 2020 Bucks had the same preseason over-under win-loss total.
But, Curtis, you already know.
So, wait, let that marinate for a second.
No, you already
you
know.
You can look it up, Greg, if you'd like.
The Bucks finished the
7-9.
Their defense started to turn the corner.
They were on the come up.
You had.
What was the 2019 Patriots schedule?
You had record. You had.
12-4, I think.
Yep.
You had arguably, and that was with Brady, you had arguably one of, at that point in time, top five wide receivers in the game, and Mike Evans. Chris Godwin was probably, in some people's mind, a top 10, top 12 guy.
It's a good question.
Right.
Like, would what Tom Brady accomplished with the Bucks after leaving here be equaled or bettered if Bill is able to turn that woebegone program into a national champion?
If Bill wins the Natty, that's better.
That's harder to do.
Because you go to the right team. If you're a great player like Brady is, and we're not taking nothing away from Brady, but you're a great player like Brady, we think the Jets stink, right? If you drop Tom Brady on the Jets roster right now, they are legitimate Super Bowl contender.
So then you're making my point. It was all Tom.
No, but I'm saying it's easier to do.
The defense rests.
But no, no. If you drop Tom, if you drop Tom Brady on the Carolina Panthers, he's got no shot of winning the Super Bowl. He won't even. He might not even sniff the playoffs. You drop Brady on this team.
If Tom Brady had to go play in Germany because the NFL wouldn't have a job for him, it would be irrelevant. Bill Belichick was viewed so negatively by the rest of the NFL that they didn't even offer him a job.
No, I think part
in two coaching cycles.
I think part of the second.
And now you're saying if he wins in North Carolina, it's better than winning a Super Bowl?
I don't think part of the second cycle. I think if Bill was to say, I'll come in and I'll work with somebody, he'd have a job in the NFL.
Exactly.
But I don't think it's about him being viewed negatively. It's about these guys not wanting to give up control.
Right. That's all it is.
Negatively that he doesn't have a job?
No. You believe Bill is a great coach and that if Bill just was willing to say, hey, you know what? I'll work with you, GM, he'd be in the NFL tomorrow.
Right. That's my point, is that he has refused to capitulate in any way.
Right.
Well, because that's what he believes is his strategy for success, is he wants to run the entire show.
But it's only one when he's
right,
had
but you're making it sound like he's being shut out of the NFL because he's not good enough.
I mean, if you turn on any network in America right now, if you listen to most radio stations, even in this market, that's the story. He was shut out of a job.
But we think on our own. Like, we don't listen to what others are saying. We make the determination ourselves.
Right. And I'm telling you that Bill Belichick was, if we sat here 2 years ago when Robert Kraft fired Bill Belichick, and I said to you, he's not going to get another NFL gig, you would have laughed at me. And if I said he's going to North Carolina, you would have laughed harder. So now that he's there, all of a sudden it's the right move at the right time. I just think it's somewhat revisionist.
No, but we're not saying it's the right move at the right time. We're saying that he's not shut out of the NFL because of his talent. We're saying that team owners in the NFL are hesitant to hire Bill because they know Bill's not going to change who he is when it comes to complete power.
But we had many conversations here where Robert Kraft was ripped, that he got rid of Bill Belichick, and that other teams like the Cowboys, the Bills, were going to make the Patriots pay. And he never got those opportunities because those teams did not
use... You keep twisting. It's not those teams. Bill won't change.
Right.
That's the reason why.
Exactly. He wouldn't change, and that's why he lost here. That's why he's not getting another job.
He's not getting another job.
He won here. He won more Super Bowls here than anybody else has ever won.
Right. And while you were printing Tommy Trader shirts, Tommy won a Super Bowl in this with the Bucks, and
yes,
Bill Belichick
I'm not taking
viewed
away,
this team listen, absolutely
Curtis,
going burned to I, the ground, 4-13.
I would never take anything from Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl in a COVID year. But I would
so
say.
So then why would you say it was a COVID year?
That's why. Exactly. Right. But anyway, all right.
But
ready?
It is harder, though. So it is.
It's harder.
If he wins a natty, yep.
We can continue that debate because
yep,
I want input on it.
That was Drake May talking to the media yesterday, and that one perked my ears right up, Fitzy. You know, I've been worried about this for basically all year, and I was worried about it before Drake May even set foot on the field. And we'll talk with Tommy Kern a little bit. Last week when we talked to him, he said, you know, I was wrong about not wanting to bring in Drake May. Drake May is awesome, and I agree. I think Drake May is awesome. He's much better than I thought he was going to be. I didn't love his last year at UNC. I thought maybe this was going to be – he's a raw talent, young kid, didn't play that much. I wasn't convinced. I was wrong about that. What I was not wrong about, though, Fitzy, was this environment that you're dropping him into and the concerns and reservations I had about this offensive line, about the coaching staff, about the pass catchers, about basically every single element of it. And I feel more vindicated than ever when it comes to that stuff. I feel like that stuff was really not anything that even a good young quarterback could step in and suddenly fix. And now here we are, and he's talking about, no, I can't have another year like this. That's what you worry about. I'm worried about that too, Drake, and I'm worried that he's going to worry about it to the point where he says, you know, this place isn't for me. I don't need to be here. I can go QB somewhere else on a team that takes this seriously and isn't afraid to go out there and surround their young quarterback with a real offense.
Yes. Let me spin it slightly positive for a second.
Okay.
And then get into why I kind of feel like myself again. Maybe Belichick getting a job has made me more positive all over again.
Could be.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate that. The positive from this is hearing Drake May come out and speak the way we wish we would hear the coordinators and the head coach speak, with an assertive, slightly aggressive tone, because he's played peacemaker. He's been a Mr. Supportive teammate all year long, throws nobody under the bus. It's all just about the team. I got to do this better. You know, even when Hunter Henry causes an interception, he talks about how he could have thrown it 3 inches better to a different shoulder or something. Like, to finally hear Drake maybe like, yeah, you know what, this losing sucks. I love hearing that he's got a little edge to him as well. That's good. That gives me some confidence and heart, Arcand, that maybe down this final stretch, he's going to say, blank you, Joe Boo. I'll do it myself. And he's going to just grip it and rip it. And maybe they're just going to let it fly. Maybe we will see the Patriots just be very aggressive on offense and stop coaching scared, playing scared, and forcing him to quarterback more conservatively. Now, on the negative side of things, yeah, I can understand that as well. You have to hope that if next year gets off to a rough start, at least Drake May will see that they have made the effort to surround their rookie now or soon to be second-year quarterback with some talent, and they're making overtures, because don't anybody expect that all of a sudden that Elliot Wolf is just going to get the password to the Kraft's Venmo account, be able to overspend on T. Higgins, find a couple of fat guys and say, there you go, everyone, problem solved. It's not that easy.
No, it's not. And there's got another big draft coming up here that they're going to be picking very high in. The third overall pick, I think, is where they're at right now, thanks to our good buddy Mac Jones. And that, you know what? As bad as he was in that game, Fitzy, that touchdown drive at the end, he had a couple throws to Tom. Like, he looked okay on that drive. The rest of the game, he sucked, but he came through for the Patriots when we needed him to.
It was huge.
I'll give him that. That is all fair, and I think that, you know, it's good to have that kind of urgency, and it's good for Drake May to be more assertive and proactive about that sort of thing. I worry that Elliot Wolf is not the guy when it comes to these drafts. I mean, this is going to be a hugely important draft. Hopefully, here's what I think. Hopefully,
not the guy. He didn't know the rest of the draft outside of the guy that just fell into their lap at 3.
Right.
Has been picnic trash.
Has been awful. And I think that you're probably going to have someone fall to your lap at 3 again here. I mean, the way it's looking right now on all these mock drafts, it goes Shedeur Sanders, Cam, what's his name, Miami, and
Ward.
Then Travis Hunt, Cam Ward. Thank you. I keep saying Cam Akers, and I know that's wrong.
I don't want Cam Akers.
We don't need him. And then Travis Hunter to the Patriots at 3, which, you know me, big Buffalo fan here. I'd love that. I'd love Travis Hunter. That would be great. So if you get the obvious layup there at 3rd overall and you take it, that's a good start. But then you got the rest of the draft, and those are all very important picks. You have more holes on your roster than just Travis Hunter, a two-way player, can fix. You need help on the edge. You need help on the offensive line.
Correct.
You need
help everywhere except quarterback.
Basically, yeah. I mean, you do. You could,
legitimately.
It's one of those best on the board type of drafts, because
yeah,
you need help everywhere.
Yeah, and Hart and I were talking on Six Rings yesterday. There was a declaration for the draft from the super disruptive, highly talented Michigan defensive lineman Mason Graham, and that Drew Rosenhaus, who's representing him, next question, said he's going to probably go top. They expect him to go top five. I postured to Hart, and he, believe it or not, actually agreed with me that even though there's a need at cornerback, wide receiver, tackle, I can't tell you what Will What's-His-Face from LSU or Kelvin Banks Jr., from Texas is going to be like, even though there is a dire need at left tackle. What I can tell you is Mason Graham is immediately going to go to the NFL and be a force on someone's defensive line. And you add him to a Keon White, Christian Barmore, Dietrich Wise mix with, you know, rolling in Anthony Jennings. If all these guys are back, then so what? You turn on Yahoo Auto Draft and you get the best player available on a team that has a massive deficit of best players available in blue chip talent.
All right, let's see what Tommy Curran has to say. He joins us on the phone right now. He's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at DrainsByJames.com. They give a poop about your pipes. Mr. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing today, sir?
Hello, friends. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you, Tom. Let's go ahead and start with the news of the day. How did it feel? What was your gut reaction to seeing Bill Belichick sitting up there on that dais next to Bubba in his cutoff sleeves, rocking the UNC blue? How'd that grab you?
It's kind of what I expected it to look like, so it wasn't so stunning to me. I think it would have been more jarring to see him in another NFL team's garb, sitting in front of a, you know, at a dais with a Chicago Bears helmet next to him. That would have been more jarring for me. To me, the most interesting thing I thought was he wasn't the Bill Belichick we've been hearing in media for the last 5 months. He was really kind of dull. He was not it just was not a very compelling media session, I thought. It was very dry, and we know how Bill is at the microphone at press conferences, but he certainly knows how to turn it on. We know that as well, and I was surprised that it was not ramped up just a tad more.
Well, at least he didn't put on a fake country accent like Brian Kelly at LSU, Tom.
That would have been great.
That would have been kind of funny. But don't you think in a lot of ways, though, for Patriots fans, I agree with you, he was very a bit plaintive, a little understated, to say the least, and maybe he's just trying to make a soft entry into college football or the next organization, possibly last, that he's in charge with. But do you think, I feel like this is a best-case scenario for Patriots fans. Bill Belichick now has a job. They now get a free favorite second college football team, or maybe favorite college football team. They don't have to see him coach against them on Sunday, or all the infographics from NBC Sports Boston and Bleacher Report that would come up like Belichick, winningest NFL coach of all time, but it would be in someone else's uniform. Because I think there's still a lot of scar tissue from watching Brady win a Super Bowl in a Buccaneers uniform for a lot of fans around here.
Sure, and I think that the scar tissue resulted because he kind of should have been here. Would that have brought a Super Bowl to the Patriots in 2020? Highly doubtful, or 2021. But I think the scar tissue existed because he didn't need to go someplace else. They could have figured it out if they worked at it. It was opted not to be done. You know, this team that you're looking at right now that's on the field is 80%, 75% Bill orchestrated. And, you know, the Sunday game presentation and the decision-making, et cetera. But the roster is certainly, you know, Bill orchestrated in many ways. So I don't think that you're going to feel the same emotion. I disagree with you on that. I think that people would have liked to have seen Bill in the NFL, and they're not looking for some Switzerland-type place where they don't have to have their emotions torn at. So I'm not of a mind where I feel like I've been deprived of something. I understand perfectly his logic. Nobody in the NFL wanted him. They don't like the cut of his jib. They looked at his recent history. They looked at how much they'll have to uproot for a 72-year-old coach, and they said, no thanks. And Bill's sitting there saying, you're saying no thanks to me, Mr. 41-year-old GM who's never won a thing in his life, Mr. Team President, Mr. you know, analytics guy, Tony Khan, Shad Khan, whoever down there among the Khans was in the crosshairs of Michael Lombardi when he lampooned the owner's son with the analytics. Bill didn't want to be in the club anymore, because the club changed and all the young kids were dancing to a different beat.
We're talking with Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Tom, there's been a sort of internal debate here at WEEI between the shows and different people on different shows about whether or not this is considered a win for the Crafts. How do you think this is landing over there in Foxborough?
I think that is, I can't even imagine going to that logic. The team is in such disarray right now that's like somebody handing you an ice cream when you're, you know, on your way into hell. Whatever. I don't care what happens with Bill. Our team is pretty screwed up right now. So to me, it's a win for the Crafts. No, not when the team is in a position that it's in. You know, you could reasonably say, and there's no way that they possibly ever could have done it. But trying to thread the needle post-Bill by keeping one foot in the past with Gerard, one foot in the future, it's just not feasible. And the decisions made could have been perhaps made even sooner with Bill. There was no way that could happen after an 8-9 season, but the saber rattling started during that 2022 season and extended throughout. And then the resulting decisions made, releases sent out, foisting upon Bill O'Brien, making sure that Gerard, it was announced, was in renegotiations, and then, putting a succession plan in place. All of those things maybe could have been, we criticized Bill for a succession plan and the lack thereof in different places. Mm-hmm. The Kraft succession plan got blown up because the 2023 season was so bad they couldn't go on with it.
We're talking
and their hands were tied, sorry. And their hands were tied going forward because of the decisions that they had made by saying, okay, can we thread the needle here and keep Gerard? And it hasn't yet worked.
Tom E. Curran from NBC Sports Boston here on WEEI Afternoons with Arcand and Fitzy today. All right, so let's move off the Belichick and into the Patriots of now and Gerard Mayo. All of us had a chance to listen to your podcast last week, Tom, and watch the video clips of you sitting at the hall with Gerard Mayo in that very interesting conversation. I was happy to hear the belief that he can become a better coach from year one to year two. But then, of course, because we can't go a couple of days without a click bomb going off in New England, we get the Boston Sports Journal piece this week saying, Mayo could be coaching for his job. This could be it if he really, blanks the bed over the final four games. From everything that you've heard, from everything that you heard from him, on the pod and beyond, do you really think that if they struggle but, don't absolutely look like a tire fire, that there'd be any chance in the world Gerard would be Dunsky at the end of the season?
No. And yeah. I don't think that Greg Bedard thinks that as well. I mean, he was on the radio the other day. They asked him what's the likelihood that Gerard Mayo's back. He said 85%. If Gerard face plants and the team face plants, more importantly, mm-hmm. and they look disorganized and players are quitting in the course of games and there's upheaval and Drake May is suddenly, I mean, you could have any number of hypotheticals, but everything would have to go drastically wrong. You're basically saying if they struggle a little bit or underachieve a bit, it seemed to be what you were saying. No, he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I think everybody acknowledges that. The hypothetical was if the Patriots are a disaster over the last 4 weeks, then they could consider Gerard Mayo's future. I think that prior to that being written, we all would have agreed that to be that would be the case. And I think that, I mean, disaster, like unmitigated disaster.
Well, I mean, unmitigated disaster could be any number of things, right? Like, when I think of coaches who are one and done, Tom, I think of there being no wins, which there haven't been, so that's strike one. But then there has to be, like, a scandal and or you've completely lost the locker room and they've revolted against you like McDaniels in Vegas or something like that. There hasn't been a scandal so far with Mayo. How would you say his standing in the locker room is?
I can only judge it by the way the players talk, the effort given during the games, and whether or not they continue to be receptive. And I think his standing is good based on all those things. I really do. And when you look at Drake May and what he said at the podium yesterday, talking about urgency and the importance of the last four games and saying we don't want to do this again next year, now's the time to lay the foundation. You have your most important player articulating the same thing the coach would want
I don't see a lot of resignation. I just don't. So I understand that we're in a period of time where the team's not playing for anything, and it has been sluggish, and the coaching, whether it be defensively, in-game, decision-making with lack of aggressiveness, certainly should be in the crosshairs. But I just think it's dubious to take it to the level of, well, could they fire him? And then if we come up with 9 hypotheticals, then say, see, he's coaching for his job. I find that really hard to get through on a regular basis, spending 3 days talking about it.
I think one of the biggest disappointments throughout Pats Nation and beyond, but especially here in New England, Tom, is that we see Drake May developing at an absolute bottle rocket at an unprecedented rate. He's far beyond any of our expectations right now. But then who else is? And who else? They don't have to be as stratospheric in talent and development as Drake May, but I don't think we see anybody else developing, which could be an indictment of the draft, the roster from before, or both. So over these final four games, yes, they're playing for nothing as in a playoff spot or a postseason, but there's a lot still obviously to play for. Is there anyone you could possibly see on this roster emerging or going off or trying to make a name for themselves to give us confidence that they're also going to be part of the solution in 2025?
You know, when you say trying to make a name for themselves, kind of feels like, hey, I'm going to go rogue out here and make a bunch of plays. I don't think that would be the way to do it. But May did allude to the fact that I have to get to the ball to these younger players who are being given opportunities. KJ Osborne has been moved out. Can Jalen Polk suddenly awake and have a 6-catch, 65-yard game? Let's keep it simple. Yeah. 4-40, maybe. Can Javon Baker, who has a concussion, was on the injury report this week and did not practice yesterday, can he make any kind of an impact? Can there be any signs of life from Jamichael Hasty of spending time on the offensive side of the ball right now? Does Jaheim Bell exist? How will Cole Strange look?
Yeah.
All of these things, I think, are really important because Cole Strange is a former first-round pick. It might have been a reach. It might have been something that Sean McVay giggled at. But still, he is not completely and irretrievably without merit. He started a lot of games, and he's had some good ones. So those things can be proven. Guys can put to bed some of the notions that we have to go and get a player here and a player there. And again, this is on Elliot Wolf. He should be at every friggin' practice, every friggin' meeting, paying attention to saying who can stay, who can't, who do we need to replace. He needs to be much better than he was, and that's an understatement, last offseason.
All right, Tom, but one more Bill question, and then we'll get to the flex of the game. Do you think he's going to be successful at UNC?
I think if we're measuring success by wins and losses, it'll probably be at, 600 winning percentage, which is good. Is he going to win national championships? I doubt it. He's kind of trying to do the same thing that he did here with New England with the same people. He just wants to ride with the same people at all times, whether it be, Mike Lombardi or the people he surrounded himself with. And we can say, well, it worked. Well, it worked when there was, the greatest quarterback of all time was on your roster. The talent was a certain level. Bill left because he couldn't do things his way. And part of doing things his way is with his guys who have a shared vision and they all think philosophically the same exact way. Now they're embarking on something that's different. He's an ingenious guy, but for as flexible as he could be on game day and as flexible as he could be in seeking out new ways of doing business, he's fairly inflexible at this juncture. In the way he wants to do things and whose voices he will listen to. So I don't think it'll be, my God, look what Bill Belichick did in North Carolina. He's saving 2.0.
All right, let's get to the flex of the game presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar, the Arizona Cardinals out in the desert. What's the flex of the game, Tom?
Flex of the game for me is the Patriots have had plenty of time to prepare offensively for this game. And to me, Alex Van Pelt has had some very good games and very good game plans. The flex is you got to flex up in aggressive situations. You're not going to the playoffs. You're playing against a team that actually has some aspirations and is coming off a couple of losses. So will you be aggressive offensively when you get inside the 20s or 10s, or you just hit the brakes? So they need to be much more aggressive than they have been, and I'll be curious to see how they operate once they start to get down low inside Arizona territory.
From your lips to God's ears, Tom. I've been screaming for that all season long, so let's hope so. That's yes. Tom Ekern, NBC Sports Boston. Thanks so much for the time today, Tom. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, Tom Ekern joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed any part of that, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. We'll take a quick break here. When we return, Bill, getting the band back together. Kern, just mentioned that. And all his old friends, all your cartoon pals basically joining him down there at UNC. We'll get into some of those names. We'll get into the succession plan with Steven Belichick as well. It's coming up next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hard on WEEI.
That is Michael Lombardi, the new GM of the UNC Tar Heel football program, joining his buddy Bill Belichick down there in Chapel Hill. That was him talking on the Pat McAfee show, I believe. Was that yesterday or today?
I think that was today. I think he's a midweek guest on McAfee.
Okay, yeah, they're in the back there telling me it was today, so yeah, that makes sense.
McAfee show's, by the way, taking a huge hit on the guests now. They're going to lose everybody. Well, unless Belichick and Lombardi actually can have it worked into their UNC contracts, they get to do McAfee.
Did they continue doing the show? Yes, Dan.
Did you see the story where Aaron Rodgers was complaining about people going on ESPN and making it all about themselves?
I was reading that on Awful Announcing.
I think it was yesterday. Good Lord.
His appearance this week was one of the most obtusely insufferable 10 minutes of streamed slash broadcast entertainment and sports I have ever seen. God, you cannot fire him holding on to a bottle of ayahuasca and a copy of the Enigma documentary into whatever sun he prays to and, you know, shines his perineum at fast enough. This guy sucks.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers sucks big time, and I'm enjoying his downfall with the Jets very much. Let's just real quick. You, at the beginning of the show, you were talking about Bill getting his buddies back together. It's very clear that he only wants to work somewhere where he can be surrounded by his people and he doesn't have to worry about Terry Fontenot or anybody else telling him, big-timing him and telling him, you know, this is the way we like to do the draft here or anything else like that. He likes to have his yes men around with him. Do you think that's a good thing going down to UNC? Do you think, I mean, obviously it's a good thing for him, but do you think it's a good thing in general for that program and for whatever aspirations Belichick has to sort of reform college football?
In the pros, maybe not as much. In college football, I do, because I don't think there's anybody that would go to North Carolina or very many other college programs of any particular pedigree that would have the experience and the roots and the program building prowess that Belichick and his guys will bring. Like, I do think it's a plus for North Carolina. It may not work in the pros as much because now these guys already have millions of dollars and they have established ways. And, man, I heard about what a pain in the ass this guy can be and, you know, him calling you out in front of everyone. I don't need that. Whereas there may be, you know, Arcan, this may be one of the positives. I kind of could have asked this question to Curran as well. Like, what do you think of the many different things Belichick will seek to accomplish? What will be, you know, let's look forward 5 years. What will be his greatest impact on North Carolina or college football? It may be that he gets just turns that place into like a draft factory that, you know, he turns a lot of lives and young careers around by making a positive impact and getting the most out of them.
Yeah, that could be. Or it could also be, this is sort of weird. I was thinking about this driving in today, and I'm not totally sure how to articulate it, but here we go anyway. You know that guys like Patricia, McDaniels, Mangini, all these people in the Belichick coaching tree broke off on their own, Joe Judge, go to these other teams, try and do like a Bill Belichick impersonation and flame out terribly because they don't have the resume, they don't have the wins, they don't have the backlog of all this sort of success and everything that Belichick has. And I wonder if something, not exactly that because it's Bill and he does have the resume, but he's going to UNC where he's never won anything, he's not done anything there. If he goes there and he starts throwing his weight around and acting like, you know, everybody has to fall in line with me and what I want.
Kiss the rings.
And they're not successful right away. You know, like Patricia, they were happy to see him go. They were happy to kick Judge out of New York. They full on revolted against Josh McDaniels in Vegas. I wonder if a bit of that could spring up here. I mean, it's not, he doesn't have the job for life. He's got a contract. He can get fired just like any other college football coach can get fired. I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of that or if he's maybe learned from some of the flame outs of his underlings not to behave that way.
Has he learned a little bit of that? Probably. Does he still think that his way, the Belichick way. You probably used to be the Patriot way. Now it's the hoodie way. Does he think that that's the right way? Absolutely. But he also did pick a softish landing spot. It's not like he's going to LSU. He's not succeeding Saban at Alabama. He's not at Michigan. He's not at a Big Ten or an SEC school. He's in the ACC. So, you know, you mentioned earlier in the show, who's he playing? Georgia Tech, Va Tech, Virginia, Pitt, Duke, BC. Like, Belichick should be able to even take whatever talent level they have on the Tar Heels right now and game them up pretty quick. Like, who's a better coach in the ACC right now than Bill Belichick?
Clemson Sweeney, I guess. Dabo Sweeney. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, you got to face Clemson. You got to face...
Who's the coach at SMU? I don't even know. But, there's other good teams there.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, but Cristobal in Miami. I don't think he's a great coach, but he's got some success there. So,
yeah, no, I don't think he falls on his face the same way because you mentioned, like, will they go in with that arrogance? Those guys were trying to impersonate Bill.
Right.
There is only one Bill Belichick, and UNC paid for that. That's part of what they wanted was that Belichick allure, the sex appeal of, like, here comes our arrogant, brilliant genius. But Kern did have a good point. He was kind of muted today in his opening presser. It was a very reserved Belichick during his UNC presser.
No, he's an old man. I mean, what do you expect? He's 72 years old. He's not, who's the guy who owns the Clippers? What's his face? Ballmer.
Steve
he's
Ballmer?
Not jumping around sweating through his pits like Steve Ballmer. You know, he's just an old guy who's having a good time down in North Carolina.
It is a Tie Tuesday, and that means we get to talk to our pal, the Hall of Famer Ty Law, brought to you this week by Corvus Vodka, the official vodka of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and by 110 Grill. Gluten-free dining done right, and good morning, Ty Law. Hello, how are you?
Good morning, Greg. How you doing, guys?
Great. How are you?
I'm hanging, man. I just got back last night from Florida. It was beautiful down there, and it was sunshine, a little chilly, but I'm back up here in cold-ass New England. So, but this is home, though. Love it. Gotta love it.
Absolutely. Are you at all surprised? Maybe not, because maybe you were whispered to, but by the indication that perhaps Bill Belichick would be interested in coaching in college football.
I got to say, Greg, now, that one threw me off. I wasn't expecting that one. I knew coaching was still in him. We had some conversations, but I did not see the college thing coming just because of just the sheer recruiting. I mean, your best buddy, Nick Saban, he got the hell out of Dodge for this NIL stuff. So I understand like wanting a challenge, but I didn't see this one coming if he does take a college job. I mean, he got me on that one.
Are you surprised, Ty? You know, we're trying to figure out how we're now entering our second coaching cycle after Bill left Foxborough, and he's only had one interview with the Falcons. What make that make sense?
That does not make sense whatsoever. I really can't understand that one. He may have been reached out to and didn't. I'm saying he's been interested in. You never know. He could have got some calls. It was like, no, because every job is not what you want. You know, all jobs are not good jobs. So, you know, taking that one with Atlanta, he might have thought that was a good job. But I can't believe that he didn't get any more calls. It's just the interviews that he took. He's probably not making himself available for just any job. If you're going to come back and coach, you want to come back and coach to win, not just to coach. I know he doesn't need any money. At this point, he's been coaching long enough. I'm quite sure Bill's done pretty well. So, you know, it's about the right job. But college, again, I got to go back to that. I can't see that one. Bill recruiting? Come on, man.
Because of the grind that it is, or because he's not going to sit there with a recruit who is looking to be paid, you know, $1 million to play for 4 years.
Damn right. Now it's one thing you got to negotiate with a grown man that's in the draft, and you know, hey, I think we all been there with him. But a kid, what have you done to get that? I can see Bill right now. Wait a minute, you want what? What have you done? I can see him just losing his damn mind, you know, out of that. Now, it's different with you, like the pros, because this is our job. So I don't know. The recruiting thing, the traveling, you know, sitting up in people's living room and trying to get their kids and tell them about the program, tell them about how you're going to make them go to the pros, all that good stuff. I just don't know if he's up for that type of grind, and nor should he have to be unless he really wants to, because he's Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time. To me, that's like a step back.
I don't think he'll do like the heavy recruiting because just of his reputation. I think it's like, unless he's trying to lock in a four-star, I don't think he's going any places. Most kids will come to him. But I think it might be a little bit easier for him when it comes to the financial, because he might just say, hey, here's what we can give you. If you don't want it, beat it. We'll give it to the next kid. Where in the pros, sometimes you have to get into these negotiations and, you know, it's a back and forth and, you know, you might not want to give this guy money, but you know, it might be your only choice. So I feel like maybe with the NILs in college, he'll set the price, and if the kid doesn't want it, he'll just move on to the next.
Okay, he'll try, and how far you think that's going to take you? Yeah, you see if you want to get paid.
There we go.
You know?
We had the dump out of the S-bomb, and that's
$100. Okay, yeah.
That's $100.
Pause, I'm sorry.
$100 in the swear jar, which is filling up for the Greg Hill Foundation, thanks to Ty Law. Speaking of coaches, Gerard Mayo was on with us yesterday, and I asked him if Robert Kraft had reassured him that he would be back next season, and he didn't really answer that question. I know in your mind he is back next season. Is there anything that has to happen with this football team when it comes to the four games that remain in order for Gerard Mayo to be back, or is it if they lose all four, it doesn't matter?
I don't think it matters what happens at this point. I think Mr. Kraft went in, of course he wanted better. The expectations was more than what we got, but I think that he didn't have expectations as far as like we're going to go to the playoffs or be a Super Bowl contender when he made the hire. You got to give him a chance, and I think, you know, the first year, it isn't a great indication of what he could possibly do until he get his own guys in there. He has to open up. You got to back up the Brinks truck, damn it. You got to spend some money. So you're going to give him something to work with. So I don't think Gerard is going anywhere, because that wouldn't be, you know, give somebody 1 year and don't let him get his – I mean, this is his first year as a head coach. That's just like if a rookie quarterback doesn't have a great rookie season, do you get rid of him, or are you give him time? So I think Mr. Kraft is a smart enough businessman to give him time. How much time? I don't know, but he's definitely secure for next season.
Ty, do you think if Bill doesn't take the UNC job, he's coaching back in the NFL this next upcoming season?
Yes.
All right.
The right opportunity, I see him coaching back in the NFL. And you got to think about it like this too, guys. If he goes to college, well, he got his friend Nick Saban. He can always call and get the, you know, the ins and outs and everything as far as college, you know. Why go there and chase something? You got the all-time record sitting there right in front of you. Two seasons, max, to be the all-time winningest coach in NFL history. Why would you go back to college? Because your damn sure ain't about to catch your buddy Nick Saban. You know what I mean? You chasing a ghost there, so why even do it? I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. You know, I really don't think it makes sense. But going into the NFL – man, he gonna get that. And if the right opportunity come, I'm sure he'll take it, because you don't want to go back to college.
Just on that, Ty, I'm sorry, Waze, there's a – watching that Bills-Rams game on Sunday, which was just awesome, and seeing Sean McDermott pee down his leg, I mean, in real time, hearing Tom Brady, ready, who heard that from Bill,
yeah,
and what he learned, yeah, and that and the way Tom was describing the miscue by Sean McDermott, where they had first and goal at the one, if you missed it. They were down 9 points. They needed to score two possessions, and Josh Allen snuck it into the line, didn't get in. They burn a timeout. They end up losing because they couldn't stop the clock. I watch something like that, and if I own the Bills, I'm like, we're wasting the years of Josh Allen right now. One of the best players.
Bill Belichick is not making that mistake.
Right. Like, yeah. There are teams like that all over the place. I just don't get it, Ty.
I don't understand it either. So when you look at somebody like Bill Belichick, it's always, and the players, we always preach about it, as you know, Wiggy, situational football. He is absolutely the best at the situational football.
hell, half our practices was situational, right, Wiggy? I mean, we did more situational practices every day than any other team that I've been on or any other head coach. It's like, it get to a point, it's like, man, this, okay, what's the situation today? It's not just practice. You have to be in a mind frame of a situation, and he's the best. And a lot of these things that you're seeing out there with some of these coaches, you will not get that with Bill Belichick. But if you have the talent and you get in certain situations, he is going to make the call to give you an advantage to win the game. I put that on everything.
Ty, let me ask this. I know it's going to be tough for you, but I got to ask it anyways. How do you feel about the new 12-team college football playoff system? I know Michigan ain't in it, but how are you feeling about this?
You know what? I mean, you always look at the change. You're going to pick apart. You're going to pick at it. You're going to pick at it. But I think given other teams opportunities, I mean, I like the way they're trying to go with it because it's just the whole competition thing. You know what I mean? Who should be where? Who lost to who? They got to clean that up. You know what I mean? Because you can't blame somebody if they won their division. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They won their conference, so you got to give them, you know, their due respect for doing so. You chose to play in the SEC. It's a harder role. We all know that. But hey, if you lose three games or whatnot, you chose to play and go to that conference. So I like where they're going with it. I like to see it get cleaned up a little bit. But I think more teams need to have opportunity because you never know. You might have a Cinderella one of these times. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I like it for giving more people an opportunity to hopefully win a national championship. So, right. I mean, I will say I'm cool with it.
All right. I love it, too.
It is time now for the most entertaining play of the game, brought to you by Apex Entertainment. Experience the thrills at Apex Entertainment in Marlboro. Of course, we have to look around the league because the Patriots were not playing this week. Any suggestions from the audience?
I mean, Curtis brought up that Rams-Bills game. Mm-hmm. The 51-yard Khalil Shakir touchdown was awesome.
I would put the Puka touchdown that sealed it for the Rams, where Cooper Kupp had that great ball.
Oh, on the screen, on the tunnel screen, yeah.
That was a good one.
Yep. Yo, Puka Nacua, that dude can play, man. What round did he go?
Six?
Yeah, fifth. Fourth? I think it was the fifth round out of one of them schools on the West Coast. I'm drawing a blank.
I'd have been BYU. I'll double check.
Yeah, you might be right. Might be right.
Yeah, no, he's tough, though. I'm just from his BYU rookie year to this year, just to see.
Right.
You know, and he, you know, when you look at him play, it's not nothing that really stands out. Like, wow, it's the speed, it's the quickness. He just gets it done, man. So, I mean, shout out to him, man. That dude could play some football, man.
He started at Washington, like, ended at BYU.
How the hell do you make Cooper Kupp the number two option? Right. How do you do that? How do you do that?
Yeah, because now Puka Nacua is the new Cooper Kupp. You know what I mean?
So he was the 177th pick in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's tough, though.
Absolutely amazing, man.
All right, Ty Law.
But, hey, I got the most entertaining play of the game.
Yeah.
I got one.
Go.
The Patriots didn't play. That was the most entertaining because they ain't gave us nothing entertaining in a long time. So, that was the most entertaining to me, that we didn't have to watch that mess that they put out there half the time. So, hopefully they give us something to entertain about. But that was the most entertaining to me.
Is there a winnable game left on the schedule? I mean, is this week really you're not going to beat the Bills? I guess I hear the argument that the Bills are going to rest guys that last game of the season. So,
well, they'll still be chasing that number one seed, I believe.
Yeah.
And then they got to understand that.
Well, they're two games out now. So
right, there's still a chance. But right. Then they got the same record as Pittsburgh. So what's the major difference between being the two seed and the three seed? So I think
drawing Baltimore or drawing Denver. Possible.
Yeah, so I think they'll still play for that. If they're at Arizona, I say at Arizona or home against the Chargers is their best bet.
They want to draw Denver. They don't want to draw Baltimore. Yeah, man, you want to take the, you know, least resistance, you know, because, I mean, it's a whole new season. And I think Josh Allen is playing great football. He's, you know, leading candidate for the MVP. But you still don't want to go up in there and see Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and those guys right now, man. If you want to get Denver, get Denver.
Yeah. On that note, I was listening to Belichick on Let's Go with Jim Gray last night, mm-hmm. and he was asked about Josh Allen being the MVP. He said, yeah, he's had a great year, but Bill immediately pivoted to Lamar Jackson and said that, you know, he's bailed Baltimore out all year. He's had an unbelievable season. And I think Bill, that's a job, if it ever became available, he would be so perfect for with the Ravens.
All right, Ty.
With the Ravens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You said Bill Belichick go to the Ravens.
Well, there was some, the John Harbaugh's seat was warming up a couple weeks ago. There were some stories out of Baltimore, and I think that would be Bill's dream, to be back where he grew up and coaching a guy that he sung the praises of every week in Lamar Jackson.
Man, could you really see Harbaugh? Why would he be on the hot seat at any point? You know, come on, man, that don't make sense. I mean, did I miss something?
He got a win. I think he's got a win. I think Harbaugh's getting to that category.
Come on, man.
He getting to that. I'm telling you, Ty, he getting to the category of, like, same with Tomlin. Like, you're always going to have a good team. You're always going to be competitive. You make the playoffs, but when are you going to win the next Super Bowl?
Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, day job ain't in no jeopardy, man. Man, what the hell y'all been listening to? What podcast y'all been listening to?
I mean, listen, take the temperature in next time you're in Pennsylvania, take the temperature down there in Pittsburgh.
I feel like Ty is keeping it real, and we need a lot of that around here.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Ty, quick question for you. Last night, the Heisman finalists came out. Travis Hunter is one of the Heisman finalists. I believe Travis Hunter is one of the more overrated players in college football. I think it's really cool that he plays both ways.
You said the most overrated player in your lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not, like, he's a really, really good athlete, but he's not at the top of college football at either position that he plays, whereas a guy like Ashton Jeanty is clearly the best running back in college football. I'm curious your thoughts.
Hey, Wiggy, can you do me a favor with all due respect and just don't do it too hard? Would you run over there behind the glasses? Smack the hell out of Shine, please.
I sure can.
Would you just run over there and smack the
hell
out of him?
All right, here goes Wiggs.
Oh, my God. Nah. Shine, do you see what this man is doing? Charles Woodson was good. My boy won the Heisman Trophy playing offensive. He didn't play that many snaps. This man played 1,000 snaps.
We just took the video off when Shime got whacked. We missed it on Twitch.
Why did they take that off? I wanted to see it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I did it.
Oh, man. Shime, you got me upside the back of the head. How did you say that? That's real, like, this. We have never seen that. That is a dream that I always wanted to do, being a both-way player coming out of high school, wanting to come do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, God, I never had the opportunity to do that. Not saying that, I could, but that was just a dream. He is living his dream, and he is playing lights out on both sides of the ball.
I see you, Champ Bailey.
1,000 yards, 4 interceptions. Now, the question is, a more legitimate question is, okay, what is he going to play in the NFL?
Well, so that's my thought. He can't do both,
can he? That is going to be the interesting thing.
No, he's going to play corner.
He can't do both, can he, in the NFL?
No.
No, not full-time, no. I mean, if you're bigger, stronger, more advanced. I'm not – this kid is capable of doing a lot, and I think coming in as a spot play, but – full-time starter, I don't know if I can see that one. I think his athleticism will suit him well as a defensive back because he knows what's going on for playing so much offense. He has an understanding of what they're going to do route wise, and he has the ability to keep up and shadow guys and have that foresight into the route. Wide receiver, you get some big guys. I look at myself on him. I'm like, you know what? He's quick, but he's not a Devontae Smith. You know, if I talk about smaller guys, I think he's a better pure receiver. But this guy is an athlete, and he absolutely 100%, 1,000% supposed to win this Heisman Trophy. We have not seen anything like this in a Power 5 forever. And Charles Woodson, he didn't play half the snaps.
Hey, told you, Ty, I saw it. Champ Bailey, when Champ and I were teammates down in Georgia, Champ played literally 115, 20 snaps a game, both sides. So I saw it with Champ. He didn't win a Heisman.
Exactly.
But he did it both ways.
And Champ ain't have these damn numbers either.
Champ's numbers were pretty good, close. Though. Remember, we usually
– he wasn't these numbers. I've seen the whole thing with Champ, him, Charles – That wasn't close, man.
Well,
something that we've never seen.
We use Champ Moore as like a like reverse running back. We didn't use him strictly as a wide receiver, so that's probably why.
Exactly. And yeah, trick plays and reverses and all that. You know this guy is the receiver, and they're coming to him. What could you do to stop him? And no one has been able to stop him. He goes out there on defense. You won't even throw at him. When you do throw at him, he going to pick the ball off or knock it down. So that is like, man, you guys got to understand how hard that is. Now, he might not look like the freak from a stature, you know, when you look at the top wide receivers or those big defensive backs, but his body of work is telling me that he should be damn near unanimous as far as I'm concerned for the Heisman Trophy, man. You got to give credit where credit's due. Mm-hmm. And taking nothing away from Ashton Jeanty, because it's a hell of a cosmic. But guess what? We've seen that before. We've seen Barry Sanders. We've seen, you know, Chris Johnson. We've seen a whole lot of people get 2,000 yards. That's not extraordinary. What Travis Hunter is doing is extraordinary, and you got to give him his props.
Chime only respects playing both ways if you're making the food and then eating it. That's really so. Ty, as always, it is our pleasure. We will talk to you again next week. All right.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
There's the great Ty Law.
Right now, it is time to talk with Jonathan Jones, who is brought to us by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Jonathan Jones, how are we doing today?
How's it going? Doing well, you?
Doing well. It's good to be talking with you here. Why don't you walk us through Jonathan Jones, grizzled NFL veteran? How do you sort of set up your time around the bye week? How did it go for you this year?
Just a lot of family, you know, spending time with the family, being out there, getting away for a minute. That's always key, is just to find the time to get away, get your mind reset. It was a late bye week, so we've had a lot of football playing, and so just a little bit of time of getting away.
When you have a late bye week, can it sometimes be tough to re-engage and get back into the swing of things, football activities? You only got 4 games left. Is that a danger of having a late bye week?
No, I think just, you know, injuries, you know, it's a long grind until you get to that bye week. And when you finally get there, you just, you're exhausted. And so just get a moment to get away, catch your breath, and then just finish out the season strong. You know, having 4 more games, a good chance to finish out the season strong.
Coach Mayo was on our station this morning with the Greg Hill Show, and he said the first order of business post-bye was to improve in turnovers. Offense, turn it over less. Defense, create more. As a defense, how disappointed are you in what you guys have been accomplishing in terms of turnovers, and how do you increase the number of takeaways?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been frustrating. I think a big thing is just making plays on the ball, you know, making an emphasis to go after the ball, you know, force fumbles, interceptions, just making it an emphasis. And then also it's just as a team, you know, when you can get ahead in games and force teams to have to drop back pass and make plays, you put a little bit more pressure on them. So, you know, starting faster as a defense, as an offense, and getting ahead, it makes turnovers. It makes getting turnovers a lot easier.
We're talking with Jonathan Jones, defensive back for the Patriots. Jonathan, in the Colts game, you saw your snaps get cut down a little bit. If you talk to Coach Mayo or anybody else about your usage going forward and if you anticipate being used less like you were in the Colts game?
No. I just show up, you know, every week, work, be ready for the game plan, and you know, however the game goes, you know, it goes. I'm just always making sure that I'm available, you know, and, you know, game plan and playing time, I leave that up to the coaches. You know, my job is to be ready to play.
Do you get an indication of that? I mean, I know different things can unfold over the course of the game, but when you see the game plan on a Wednesday, does that give you an idea, okay, what I'm involved in, what I'm less involved in, how is this different from previous weeks? Do you have an idea going at that point?
Some weeks, you know, I think sometimes if I'm, you know, playing a different position, like a few weeks ago playing safety or different things, you kind of get an indication of, you know, what the game's going to be. And then sometimes it's within games or, you know, injury may happen at a position and you have to make changes. So just being as prepared as you can.
With that in mind, you are a pending free agent, and you are going to be potentially hitting the market here. In a bye week, is that a time maybe to get together with your representatives and talk about the future? Is that something that you did at all in these in this past week?
Oh, no, not at all. I got away from football completely outside of yesterday just being a fan. We got four more games left, you know, and so just here to finish out, you know, my four games in the off season. The free agents comes, you know, I deal with that then. But right now, I'm just focused on putting my all into these next four games.
Do you want to stay in New England?
I would love to. You know, it's rare for a guy to be, you know, to place his entire career. You know, especially like I said, being undrafted, being here my entire career. I feel, you know, indebted to being here. And so I love the fan base. I love the team. And so it'd be awesome to be a guy that, you know, goes his entire career at the same place.
You mentioned watching some football yesterday. What's that like for you? How do you watch football? Are you focused on the cornerback position? Or are you got a big bowl of nachos in front of you? Are you on red zone? How do you watch football?
A little bit of red zone. Try to ignore the commentators as much as possible and just watch the game. But that's about it. Just hanging out and watching the game and enjoying it from a fan perspective.
Do you always watch it from a defensive perspective? Because a lot of times these color commentators, if they're an ex-quarterback, it seems like they're biased towards the offense. Are you always biased towards the defense when you watch games?
A little bit. I try to help us out, man. The game's geared towards offense, and I know how difficult it is to play defense, you know, in this league. And just go out, see guys compete, and see adversity, see how guys bounce back. And just getting to watch it from that perspective is always fun to do.
Guys in their career historically, Jonathan, I'm not saying you're going to do this, but I guess the question is, you've seen corners later on in their career convert to safety. You've played safety a bit this year. Is that something you've given any thought to as you take the next step in your career? Is that a position change maybe something you'd consider?
Yeah, right now. I mean, I'm still fast and still strong. So I think most guys, once they start to lose a step, you know, it's a good transition for them where they can use their self mentally. But right now I'm still, you know, still in shape, still in good shape, and still enjoy playing corner.
What was your reaction when you saw the news that Bill Belichick has had multiple interviews with the University of North Carolina for their open head coaching job?
I mean, that's different, you know, but I know his heart's in coaching. And so whatever opportunity he gets to coach, you know, I know he loves football. And so just to see him get an opportunity still to coach.
All right, we'll leave it right there then, unless you got something else.
Well, I was just going to ask you, do you think he'd be a good college coach? I mean, we saw Nick Saban retire. We saw Chip Kelly give up, you know, the UCLA job to just become a coordinator again. There's a lot that goes on now with NILs and portals and things of that nature. Do you think Bill could acclimate to that quickly enough to have success?
It's a different landscape, I would say, but it's much more like the NFL now than it was in the past. You know, we're basically free agency and negotiating contracts. It's become a miniature NFL, and so from that aspect, I think he'd do fine.
Are you bummed out that you missed out on all that NIL stuff? I mean, you know, you got to be looking at some of these kids driving these nice cars around campus thinking, man, that could have been me, right?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't envious, man. But no, they're getting an opportunity, like I said, to change their family's life at a younger age and make some money while they're in college. And, you know, it's you know, guys have paved the way for so long to see those guys to be where they're at now. And I'm glad to see guys taking advantage of it.
Speaking of envious, did you ever play baseball? I'm sure you saw that Juan Soto got $765 million.
Yeah. No, but I'm wondering, is it too late for me to pick up a bat, you know, second career? See how that goes, but golly, man, I saw that. That was crazy.
Jonathan Jones, good luck this weekend against Arizona. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
All right, John. That is Jonathan Jones.
We're joined right now by Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning repair. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
Doing good. How are y'all?
We're doing great. How was the bye week? What'd you do?
It was good. Just chill, hang out, relax.
Do you watch a lot of football on the bye week, or do you stay away from it?
I've watched the games on yesterday and college football.
Oh, nice. Which games were you watching?
Oregon. Watched a lot of college games. I watched a couple of NFL games.
Nice.
Does the bye week give you a chance to look back at the season so far? Like, do you assess how the first 13 games have gone, or is that something you do more in the off season once the whole year is over?
Oh yeah, no, you definitely watch yourself, do a little self scout. Yeah, so that helps.
Did you see, Christian, the report last week that Bill Belichick could be interested and has interviewed actually for the job at the University of North Carolina?
No, I didn't.
Okay. He did. Could you see him coaching in college?
I mean, if he wanted to, he could. I mean, if that's what he wanted to do, then he can go do it.
What do you think the recruiting pitch would be like from Bill Belichick?
He won however many Super Bowls. He's Bill Belichick.
When you were in high school, what were the things that drew you to colleges? Like when you were getting recruited, what made you want to choose first Colorado, and then I know ultimately you went on to Oregon?
Really just boiled down to relationships, talking to the coaches and the ultimate fit of the defense and things like that.
Early Pro Bowl voting is out. You're surprisingly getting little love from the Pro Bowl voters. Do you feel like you are a Pro Bowler?
I mean, I spoke on this already. I mean, if it come, it come. If it don't, it don't. I mean, I know I'll get it eventually. If they vote, they vote. If they don't, they don't. That ain't the main focus of mine right now. It's about winning, so that's all on that.
All right, and on that note, let's get to another edition of Man to Man to Man with Christian Gonzalez.
It's Man to Man coverage. Quick hitters with Christian Gonzalez.
First up this week.
Yes, hell yes.
Let the intro play.
I'm sorry, I jumped the gun, Christian. Sorry. My mistake. I was excited to get to our first question, Christian. Our first question for Christian Gonzalez this week. Do you have a pet?
I do. Cane Corso.
Nice. What was your first job?
The NFL.
Nice. It's a good place to start.
That's a good job. Yeah.
Do you prefer, Christian, a real Christmas tree or a fake Christmas tree?
Probably fake. I never had a real one.
How much would you have given Juan Soto?
Me personally?
That's right.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really pay attention to baseball. But I know he just got paid $700 million. So, I mean, nowhere near that.
Okay.
Good answer.
Fair enough.
You're playing rock, paper, scissor. What are you throwing? Rock, paper, or scissor?
Rock.
If you could steal a smooch from any celebrity, who would it be?
Oh, no, y'all trying to get me.
This is also your chance, maybe. Maybe toss this out there. You never know. We could make a love connection.
Like a Travis
here.
Kelce type situation.
Yeah. All right. You don't want to take this? Okay. Fair enough. Keep it to yourself.
Okay. Do you prefer, that was a spicy question from Keith. Do you prefer spicy or mild?
Mild.
What is the best flavor of ice cream?
Coffee.
Nice.
Who's winning the college football playoff, Christian?
Oregon.
Do you use emojis when you text? And if so, which do you use the most?
Probably the laughing one. I use that one all the time.
Nice.
Nice.
There you go. That's how you play man to man to man.
That's how you play man to man to man. Apologies for jumping all over the intro there, Christian.
Seriously.
So I figured you would answer the Ducks. Do you like, and we haven't seen it play out yet, but do you like the idea of this college football playoff, a tournament, more than just the four teams they've had the last few years?
Yeah, I like it. I think it gives more to the sport of college football just because, I mean, if you back when it was four teams, if you lose once, you're pretty much out. So, I mean, I think it's good. It'll be real entertaining. I think it'll be good for college football.
I got a uniform question for you when it comes to Oregon. Every single week, there's a different combination. Who picks that? Are there players that sort of have a say in that? Or are you guys just told, all right, here's the uniform this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of both. It's like they'll give us, because obviously you have to know what color you're wearing just because of home and away and things like that. But then there's like a panel that when I was there, I don't know how they do it now. They would bring us in and say, okay, do you want to make any changes? Like change the color of the face mask, change the accessories, change the secondary color. So, I mean, it was a good amount of mix of both.
Nice. We're uniform guys, so that's part of the reason why we like the Ducks. Well, Christian Gonzalez, we appreciate it. Glad you enjoyed the bye week. We'll talk to you next Patriots Monday.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. You too.
Christian Gonzalez joining us here. He's brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots.
I don't know how you don't shoot your shot there. That's an easy one. Yeah. Somebody asked you. So if he's already...
Keith, you're a married man, but you can steal a smooch.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Rachel McAdam.
Nick, nobody asked you. Calm down.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Seriously.
Everybody give theirs.
Nick, seriously.
Settle down, Nick.
Yeah.
We'll get to you.
You're a little too ready to go, is what that was.
Oh, I said it immediately to Billy. I'm like, Rachel McAdam.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't want to go there.
You got to talk. You got it. You're like, why not?
Let me tell you, fake Christmas tree.
Must be a serious relationship.
Yeah, no, it's a good point.
Oh, Billy.
Yeah, as simple as that.
Try it. See, we were thinking getting him in trouble tabloid-wise. Yeah. Must be a serious relationship.
It's not Rebecca Gayhart. Not Rebecca Gayhart.
Because it's different for him.
If anybody can tag her to tweet, it's not her.
Compared to normal people like us.
That's true.
Like, we throw celebrities out there like we would ever have a chance. Him.
Yeah.
He's a professional football player, a very good professional football player.
Dude, he never had a job until he was in the NFL.
How about that?
That's insane.
What was your first job? NFL.
Pretty
smallest resume ever.
Yikes.
Patriots.
Yeah.
I like how he's like, I'm not paying him. Not paying Juan Soto.
He's like, how much am I paying him?
He knew $700 million. I made sure to say that a couple of times while he was on hold just to give him a fair play.
Sure.
Give him a fair play there.
No, I'm pretty sure all those guys know. They might not know a thing about Juan Soto. They don't know a position he plays.
They know the dough.
They know how much he's getting. They absolutely do. They're keeping tabs.
Yeah. Serious relationship, though. It's not Helen Mirren. I can tell you right now. I got a serious thing going on. It is
Helen
not
Helen Mirren now or 1986?
Helen Mirren either.
Helen Mirren now.
Fake Christmas tree.
Yeah, fake tree.
Coffee ice cream.
Which I love.
I love
I'm a big coffee ice cream guy.
I was
me and Gonzo are a lot more alike than you think.
How dare the Twitch chat just saying vanilla over and over again. How dare you? And also spicy or mild.
Read that.
Ice cream of the show.
Yeah. Not reading that.
Spicy or mild? He said mild.
Mild.
I've never even heard.
I'm spicy.
I've never heard anybody answer that.
Yeah, mild's not.
If he was worried about a challenge, he's one step ahead of us. He's like, oh, you say spicy, and you're like, really?
We're just going to do a mild challenge. We're just do mild wings. We start with mild, and then we go to nothing with nothing on them.
Have new we show, the naked mild wings. Ones.
Have we talked about this on air?
Mild
on air before, yeah, mild ones. We just, you're eating room temp.
What do you think of that?
Room temp wings.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, they're not spicy.
Not a lot of flavor.
Not hot. Microwave.
Nope.
Kind of tastes like undressed chicken.
Won't burn your mouth. Not hot going in or out.
Are these cooked?
Maybe not. It's mild ones.
Mild ones.
The latest mild ones.
With Jones and Keith.
Does Gonzalez sound like a guy that uses the crying emoji a lot? The cry laugh emoji a lot?
No.
That seems like it's almost too much. I thought he would just do the one with like the line.
Hey, you're like, all right, Christian, you don't have to be a prick about it.
It's just the eyes and then the straight line face. And so he always just responds to everybody.
He's just always giving you the crying laughing. Yeah. You're like, all right, dude, you don't have to be so rude about it.
Like okay. Five of them?
Yeah.
Anytime anybody uses more than one, you're like,
all right,
what did I say?
I'm a big three guy. You don't like more than one.
Three. Three of them?
Yeah, I don't know why
I feel
that
like
is.
You're doing too much. I feel like at that point you're not thinking it's that funny.
I try to cut back on it because I usually do three question marks, three exclamation points.
If you're into it, question.
It's a tough habit to break. It's like biting your nails.
Everything comes in three.
Yeah. Try to quit, but you always come back to it.
If it's just the three emojis, they stay bigger in the text box.
Oh, that's fair. So yeah, if you do three and that's all you're sending, I kinda get that. If you do like four or five, they go small.
In other words, you go one. If it's by themselves, you go three.
It's outrageous. He actually gave us a pretty well thought out answer though on the uniforms.
Yeah,
that was like the longest,
the most detailed answer I've ever heard from him or about Oregon uniforms.
I should have led with that
ever. Yeah, we should have started
3 months ago.
It's man-to-man-to-man coverage. It'll be up shortly on the Odyssey
app. Sure will be.
Make sure you check that out.
Yeah,
every week here on Jones and Keith.